Wendy, have a translator? Is that going to work? I don't know how that works. All right, good. Google Translate. That's what we got. It really is good to be back. I was driving over here this morning from the house, and I was thinking about it. I haven't preached since before Memorial Day. So I don't know if in the last 20 years I've had 5 consecutive weeks off without speaking publicly somewhere, either in a church setting or at a camp or a retreat or something like that. And so I'm rusty, I'm going to tell you, right? And I thought about it this morning. I am Evel Knievel, okay? You're paying for the attempt. That's all I'm going to give you this morning. Like, I ain't promising this is going to be a pretty landing. This thing may crash and burn, but we're going to try this today, and we're going to kick off our brand new series entitled Courageous, and we're going to try to use this morning as more of a movie trailer. You know, something that you can, you know, movie trailers are great because you can watch kind of a 30-second clip or a minute or 2-minute clip and kind of know, all kind of whet your appetite as to what's coming. And you're like, man, I really want to see that, you know, and I hope that that's what this morning does for you. Hopefully this isn't one of those movie trailers where you walk away and you're like, I'll be back in a month, okay? Like, hopefully this is something that you're like, I want to come back next week and I want to know more. So this is what this morning, so, for those of you who are take notes, you have your Bibles out, you can just kind of set those aside this morning, because this morning is going to be kind of that 30,000 foot flyover of what we're going to be looking at over the next 4, 5, or 6 weeks. Just this idea of courageous living in the life of fear. Like, how do we live this life of adventure in this life where fear is everywhere we turn around? So if you would, for the first time in a long time, pray for me as I pray for you. Heavenly Father, we come before you right now. I thank you so much again for this church. Oh, for the courageous people that you've placed here. The step out in faith every day in their own lives and their families and their careers, their jobs, on mission for you, Lord. I just pray, Lord, that this morning really sets the tone for the next several weeks. That the fears that we wrestle with, the things that we are afraid of, Lord, that we don't see them as obstacles that we cannot overcome, but Lord, you don't see them at all. That we can see our life through your eyes. And that we can be strong and we can be courageous. And it doesn't mean that it's going to remove fear from our lives, but Lord, that we can press on through that fear. Lord, I pray for us this morning that something that is said or done maybe starts to build that courage up to face the things in life that we are most afraid of. In your holy name we pray. So I said this is going to be like a movie trailer, and speaking of movies, I don't get a lot of time, like in day-to-day life, to really ever sit anymore and watch movies. I used to love sitting down and watching movies, whether it's renting them or going to the movies or that kind of thing. But life's busy, you know, and you got 3 kids that are very active and a family is very active. We don't get a lot of chances to really sit. So one of the things I wanted to do over this last month was really catch up on some movies that I hadn't seen. And so I was able to do that. And we were also able to catch a couple of movies that are just come out. And really the two best movies I've seen over the last month is Toy Story 4 and the new Spider-Man. I mean, just phenomenal. And I'm not going to give you any spoilers, so if you haven't seen them yet, this is spoiler-free. Although I will tell you, in Toy Story 4, I thought it was strange that Buzz got that glove and he snapped his fingers and half the toys disappeared. I thought that was a weird way to go with the movie, but I don't know. I mean, Woody's like, Mr. Andy, I don't feel so good. He's gone. It was just weird, but I don't know, but no spoilers. They were fantastic movies, man. And I walked away, and at one point in Toy Story, those of you know me, I'm not like a crier, right? I don't cry much, and I just, not that I don't want to, I just don't. I don't know, I don't have any tears left. And so we were sitting in Toy Story 4, and there was this like climactic moment toward the end, and I felt like my eyes getting watery, and I was like getting choked up, and I was like, I think I'm gonna cry, right? And I leaned over to Maria, and I said, because I knew if I felt this way, Beth was definitely losing it, right? And so I'm like getting choked up, and I leaned over, I said, Maria, $10, your mom's crying. So Maria's like, Mom, are you crying? And Beth turned, yes! And she's just like, makeup's running. It's an incredible movie. And then Spider-Man, like, we went and saw that opening day, and I left the theater and my face hurt. And it hurt because I smiled the whole time. Like, it was just so good. It was just like, oh, this is awesome, right? But as I thought about those two films over the last few days, and they're really similar. And they're similar in this, is that in Toy Story 4, you have Woody dealing with fear. Fear of change and fear of letting go. And then in Spider-Man, you have Peter Parker with this fear of, do I measure up? Do I have what it takes to accomplish what needs to be done? And I just started thinking about that. And I started thinking about that, how the movies, even though they don't even realize it, how they really just copy the scriptures. Because that's the theme that we see throughout this book, is fear after fear after fear, and this inevitability that we're going to have to face our fears. And our fears are either going to crush us and keep us where we're at, or something inside of us is going to have to measure up, well up inside of us, and push through that fear. Fear's been around a lot longer than Toy Story 4 and Spider-Man. In the garden, Adam and Eve, they sinned. And what did they do after they sinned? They went and they hid. And what does it say in the Bible? Why did they hide when God found them? He says, why are you hiding from me? And what did they say? Adam and Eve said, we hid because we were afraid. The first time fear had ever been introduced into mankind was in the garden. And it's been at the core of human existence ever since. Throughout the scriptures, or throughout movies, or how about throughout our own life? Like, I get this whole idea of Woody having this fear of letting go. We went out to, as you know, it was a family vacation. Some of you guys know this. Most of you know this, maybe. We went out to Colorado. And we were out there. The week we were out in Colorado was Maria's birthday. And so, you know, Maria's not, out of the whole family, she's probably the least outdoorsy, you know. And so she was like, I don't want us to be in Colorado on my birthday. What are we going to do? I said, honey, you do whatever you want to do. Like, we will find it. Like, I want this to be the best birthday ever. Like you decide what you want to do. And so as we're riding, and we're arriving in Colorado, and we're driving, and we're kind of going down this main highway before we kind of turn up and went up through the mountains to the cabin that we were staying at. Right there on the side of the highway was this massive high ropes course and zip line. And Maria said, that's what I want to do. And I was like, did I say anything? Like, that is not what I want to do for your birthday. And Maria's like, that's what I want to do. Like, I want to do that zip line. I want to do that high ropes course. And Beth and I were like, do we love her that much? Like, is this like, what, do we just let her have the worst birthday ever, or do we just go through with this? And so we talked about it, and we looked it up, and we said, I called the place. I was like, how safe is this? And they're like, oh, it's awesome, dude. You're going to have a great time. I'm like, all right, we'll do it. So on her birthday, that's what we did. We went, drove down the mountain. We went to this massive, it was huge, this huge high ropes course that you do first for a couple hours. And then they take you up on these zip lines. And to give you an idea of the zip line, this place had the longest zip line in Colorado. It was a third of a mile long, one of the zips. And you got up to 45 miles an hour coming down the zip. I mean, you were high and fast, right? And that's Colorado, right? I mean, that's high and fast. That's the way they live life. And so we're doing, so we got there and we did the high ropes thing, which was great because it kind of let us, you know, go up a little bit at a time, and we kind of got to catch our breath, those of us who are afraid of heights, meaning Beth and I. And the kids were great. I mean, they're like jumping off, they're doing all this stuff. I mean, they don't have any fears at all. And Beth and I are like, we're going to die up here. And so we get through the high ropes thing, and we get to the zip line, and they go through this great training, and they take you up to the first tower, and we get to the very top, and I'm being the dad that I am, I want my family to enjoy things first. So I said, y'all go first. And so, of course, Maria was like, it's my birthday, I'm going. And she jumps off and zips, and she's like, wow, yeah, party. And then Jacob goes, and Josh goes. I mean, there's no fear at all. And then Beth kind of ekes her way out there, and she goes. So then I'm left. And the way you could do these zip lines, you could just jump and go, you know, and you're zipping on down. Or you can kind of sit on the edge and kind of push yourself off gently. And that was the route I chose. And so I sat there on that edge, and all the rest of the family, the other four of them had all gone, and I'm sitting there, and they're way down there at the other end. They're like, come on, Dad, you can do it. And I sat there, and I was like, my heart had stopped beating. I was so scared. Like, I was sitting there, and I was like, oh, I'm not going to do it. And I'm like praying. I'm like, God, I don't know if I can do this. And the guy was like, all right, man, you can go whenever you want. And I said, out loud, I said, I don't think I can do this. And, you know, this guy's trained. He's a professional, I think, you know, even though he lived in a tent underneath us. He was a trained professional. I'm not exaggerating. He literally lived in a tent under the high ropes course. And and so I thought he was trained in, like, you know, at least helping people overcome their fears. So I was like, man, I don't know if I can do this. And he looked at me. He's like, dude, are you serious? That was his exact words. And I looked at him, and I was like, no, I'm just picking. And I was like, I was scared. I'm like, I got to do it. And I went, right? And I did the zip line, and we got to the end, and I survived, and everything was great. And then I realized we had to do 7 more. And because it was like 8 zips we had to do. But when I got off the end of it, Beth and I were talking about our fears about this, and I kind of had this revelation. I think the thing that scares me most about heights, and the thing that scared me about that zip line and all that kind of stuff, I didn't have control anymore. I didn't have control of the situation. I mean, I'm having to trust this cable. I'm having to trust this harness. I'm having to trust this 20-year-old college kid, you know, that strapped me in and hooked everything up, that everything was going to be right. That for me, it was that fear, was that fear of not having control and being able to let go. And so when I watched Toy Story 4, I got that because I understood, because I was like, that's me, I'm Woody. Like, I had this fear of letting go at times. Like, I want to have control of the situation, and when I don't have control, I get scared. And then you got Peter Parker and Spider-Man, and he's wrestling with this fear of, you know, it's just like post-Endgame, and I'm not going to be spoilers about that, but, you know, things happen in this world, and things go on, so he's like back at high school, and this is like days afterwards, you know, the last Avengers movie, and he goes on this field trip with his class, and all he wants to do is just be a 16-year-old kid and be a student. He doesn't want any responsibilities of being Spider-Man. He don't want any of this stuff, and of course, you know, that's not the way it happens in the movies. And so, of course, there's villains and there's all this stuff and there's things, and he has to be Spider-Man, but he's having to be Spider-Man by himself because he's on a school field trip. And he's not back in America. He's in London. And so he's constantly having to ask himself through the movie, do I have what it takes? Do I measure up in the face of fear to be able to do what I need to do? And it took me back. When I was a youth pastor, my very first youth job ever was at a Methodist church not too far from here, over in Wahlberg, North Carolina. And I was hired, and we had this pastor at the time, and his name was Jim. And Jim to this day is just an incredible friend. He's my mentor. I just idolize this guy. And I often joke, the worst parts about me as a pastor, I learned from him. Because that's him, right? It may be if you can imagine a pastor less compassionate, that's him. I mean, there's just something about him that's just endearing to me. But he's an amazing leader, this amazing preacher. And so those first couple years of working with Jim Martin was like so fruitful in my life. Because he was like not like any other pastor I'd ever met before. And the way he led people and the way he could motivate and his vision and outside-the-box thinking, it was inspiring. And literally, I idolized this guy. I'll never forget, there was one Monday, I was sitting in my office, and my door was shut, and I was in there working on something, and there was a knock at the door, and, you know, Jim came in, he shut the door. He's like, can I talk to you? I'm like, yeah, you can talk to me. And he was like, I just want to let you know I'm leaving. He was like, I've prayed about it, and it's time for me to move on. And the way things work in the Methodist church is it's not just a given that pastors are going to move every 3 or 4 or 5 years. I mean, that's kind of the myth. I mean, what happens is every year the church gets together, at least a group of leaders, and they decide if they want the pastor to come back. And then the pastor also has to decide, do I want to come back? And typically the period of time this takes is usually 4 to 5 years, because usually within 5 years, the church is either tired of the pastor or the pastor's tired of them. Something happens and they move on. Well, the church everybody wanted Jim back, but Jim just said, I feel like it's time for me to move on, like I've done everything I can here, and it's time for me to go. And he told me that, and I sat there, and all right, man, I understand, that's cool, and asked a few questions, and he left and shut the door back. I sat in my office, and I cried. And I cried partially because I was going to miss Jim, because he was a friend and confidant and someone that I looked up to. But I cried more in my office because I was scared to death, because Jim had been my safety net. Jim had been my advocate. Jim had been the one that I could go to, because this was my first youth ministry job. I didn't have a clue what I was doing. and I could go to him, and I could share ideas and visions and dreams, and he would either be like, Mike, that's awesome, let's do it, or he'd be like, no, that's a train wreck, you don't want to do that, you know? And he was always there, and I sat in my office, and I'm like, what am I going to do? Like, I don't know if I can do this without him. I don't know if I can be a youth pastor without Jim there with me. Do I have what it takes? Do I measure up? I'm scared to death. 3 years later, I decided it was my time to leave. And I decided I was going to leave the youth ministry and go plant a church. And I was, at that point, I'd kind of been asked, and I was serving as kind of a head youth leader in the Methodist Church in the district we were in, and also in this half of the state. And there was like one lady that was like above me that kind of oversaw all the youth stuff and decided to stay. And so when I decided I was going to leave, I had just preached at this. I decided I was going to leave. I hadn't told anybody yet. We had a big Methodist youth conference. I got to speak at it, and it went really well. I mean, really, really well. And so that next couple of days, I called her and I said, hey, look, I want to let you know something. As we were talking about the conference and kind of how it went and thinking about next year, I was like, I'm not going to be here next year. And she said, why not? And I was like, I decided I'm going to leave the church I'm at. She's like, where are you going? What are you going to do? And I was like, I'm going to go plant a church. I feel like, you know, Beth and I have talked about it. We've prayed about it. We feel like God's calling us to go plant a church. And it was dead silent on the other end of the phone. And I'll never forget what she said to me. She said, Mike, you've preached one good sermon, and you think you can go plant a church? That's what she said to me. And I was like, well, when you put it that way, I don't know, maybe I can't. But again, I had all this confidence that Beth and I had prayed about it, and we knew this is what God had called us to do, to step out in faith, to lead this church where we were loved, and the youth ministry was growing like crazy, and all. It was just a great, great, it didn't make any sense. Just like 3 years earlier, it didn't make any sense for Jim to leave. It didn't make any sense for me to leave on paper. Everything was going great. But God was like, nah, it's your time to go. And so I was going to go, but then this woman asked me this. She said, you preached one good sermon, and you think you can go plant a church? And I hung up with her, and I'm like, maybe I can't. Maybe I don't have what it takes. Maybe I don't measure up. And all this fear started coming into my mind and into my heart. And I think if you're really honest with yourself this morning, you've been there. That you've struggled in your life with the fear of change or the fear of letting go or this fear of looking in the mirror and asking yourself, do I have what it takes to be a mom, to be a husband, to be a wife, to do this job? Do I measure up to the standard that God has for me? Fear is not new. As I mentioned, it was started in the garden. They hid because they were afraid. And fear continued. And it continued through generations, decades and generations of people. And finally, God got to this point where he said, I'm ready to do something with these people. I want to have a nation that understands me and loves me and can lead this world. So he chose Abraham and he chose Sarah. And he said, from you, I'm going to birth a nation. So Abraham and Sarah had kids, and their kids had kids, and so forth. And all of a sudden, you have the Israelites. And the Israelites weren't always the best at being God's chosen. And before long, the entire nation, all the Israelites, were in slavery in Egypt. And God said, all right. They finally got to this point where they said, God, I'm sorry. We've messed up. We can't take this slavery stuff anymore. So God chose a leader by the name of Moses. And he says, Moses, you're going to lead my people out of bondage. So you know the story. You've seen the movies. You've read it. You know all this. You know, he goes, let my people go. You know that, right? And the Israelites leave, and Pharaoh and his army are chasing them, and they go through the Red Sea, and the Red Sea closes, and then that's it. Moses and the Israelites are in the desert, and they're searching for this promised land. And they get there, And they get to the promised land, and this is years later. And by this point, the nation of Israel now has 12 tribes, and they have everything kind of broke up. And so Moses, in his infinite wisdom, said, all right, here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a spy, one person from each tribe. So we're going to have 12 spies. You're going to go into the promised land, and we're going to make sure that everything is right for us, that everything is ready for us to go in. God has told us this is our land. God has led us to this point. Now, we just need to know for sure. So the 12 spies, one from each tribe, goes into the promised land and kind of surveys the situation. And then they all come back. Now, 10 of the 12 go to Moses and they go to everybody and they say, no way. We cannot do it. You don't know the giants that are over there. You don't understand how many armies they have, the people, how fortified their cities are. Like, there's no way that we can do this. Like, is God insane? Like, why would he bring us here to die? We cannot do it. 10 out of the 12 said that. But two, Joshua and Caleb, told Moses and told the people, we can't do this, but God can. God has brought us to the promised land. Yes, there's giants, but God's bigger than those giants. Yes, there's armies, but God's bigger than those armies. Yes, it seems like everything is fortified. Like there's no way there's going to be a breakthrough, but God can break through because he led us here. And Moses listened to the 12, and then he listened to everybody start rumbling about what they wanted. And Moses said, all right. We're not going in. We're not. So God said, fine, have it your way, Moses. No one will enter the promised land until all of you are dead. And once all of you leaders and all of you adults are dead, then the ones who remain, then I will let you go. So years pass, and everyone dies except for Joshua and Caleb. And God says, now are you ready to go into the promised land? Joshua said, let's do this. So in Joshua chapter 1, verse 1, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. This is God talking to Joshua. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready because you're going to cross the Jordan River and into the land that I'm about to give them, that I'm about to give the Israelites. You don't think Joshua was afraid? This is 40 years later. He's a lot older than he was the first time he set foot in the promised land and looked around. And he was a spy. One of only two people who have been into the promised land yet. Him and Caleb were older. You don't think he was scared of change? After 40 years of routine, 40 years of just kind of making camps and kind of wandering through the desert, having God kind of supply your needs, you know, just being there. I don't think there's a little bit of fear in him. You don't think there's a little bit of fear in Joshua of letting go? But God, this is what I'm used to. God, this is what I know. You don't think there was fear in Joshua that says, do I really have what it takes? It was one thing 40 years ago when I went into the promised land and we saw all these giants and armies and all these other stuff, and I came back because I wasn't in charge. Moses was. And I didn't have to worry about, do I have what it takes? Do I measure up? Because I trusted Moses and I knew he did. Well, now there's no Moses. You don't think Joshua stood there on the edge of the river and looked across to the promised land and did not ask himself, do I really have what it takes? Do I measure up? Because I don't want to let go. I don't want this change. You don't think that fear was not there in the hearts of Joshua and Caleb and everyone else? Because it was. So this morning, what's your fear that's keeping you from the promised land? your promised land. Maybe it's starting a family. Maybe it's having a baby. Maybe it's starting a new job or changing careers. Maybe it's giving in to God and giving him your life once and for all. Maybe it's going on a mission trip or getting involved in a small group. What's your promised land that you're standing on the edge as you're looking across the river at, and you're telling yourself, I don't know if I can do this because I don't know if I measure up. I don't know if I can do this because I don't know if I have what it takes. Because there's going to be big changes, and that's scary. And if I cross this river, if I go into that promised land, I'm going to have to let go. And letting go is scary. Have you ever thought about the three things that people are scared of the most? In no particular order. Fear of heights. But what is fear of heights really? It's a fear of losing control. If I'm up high, if I'm dangling, if I'm doing something like that, it's not about the height. It's not about how high up you are. It's about I don't have control of this situation like I would want. What about the fear of the dark? It's not really about being in a room with no lights on. It's about fear of the unknown. What is in here that I can't see? What is out there that I don't know is there? What about the fear of public speaking? It's not really about, I don't know what to say, I may stutter, I may say the wrong word. It's about the fear of rejection. Loss of control, the unknown, rejection. Whatever you think you're scared of, whatever it is that keeps you up at night, whatever it is that causes those butterflies in your stomach that cause you to be afraid, I want to challenge you this week to dig deeper. Because it's probably not heights, and it's probably not the dark, and it's probably not public speaking. It's probably something else when you peel back those layers and get a little bit deeper. What is keeping you right now from crossing that river into the promised land? What giant is too big? What wall is too fortified? What army is too many that's keeping you where you're at? Joshua had fear. He had fear 40 years earlier, but he just trusted God more than he trusted his fears. Over the next several weeks, we're going to dig into this book of Joshua, and we're all going to see together that Joshua was strong and Joshua was courageous, not because there was an absence of fear, but because he trusted God more than he trusted the thing that he was afraid of. Amen? So what are you afraid of this morning? What's keeping you from your promised land? And is it bigger than God? I don't know the answer to the first two questions, but I know the answer to the third one, and it's not. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you so much for the times in our life that we have been strong, that we've been courageous, that we've stepped out in faith and we trusted you. But Lord, if we're really honest, those times in our life are really few and far between. That most of the times in our lives, we act like Adam and Eve and we hide because we're afraid. Afraid of what you will see in our hearts or afraid of what you may ask us to do. Like Woody in Toy Story or Peter Parker in Spider-Man or Mike Giannopoulos at Project Re3. We all have fears. Fears of the unknown, fears of change, Fear is of letting go. Fear that we may not be able to do what you've called us to do, that maybe we don't measure up. Maybe we can't do it. But God, the things you promise us is that you can do it. That we're not going to truly live a life of fearlessness. We may just live a life where we fear less and trust you more. That when we feel those butterflies, when we feel that, man, that fear going through every fiber of our bodies and our souls and our hearts, that God, it's in those moments that we have to trust you to be our strength, to be our courage. And if you're calling us to us, you're going to call us through it. God, I pray that for the next few weeks that we're really honest with ourselves and we're honest with you. We're honest about the things that we're afraid of. And we don't wait until that fear is gone before we take that step of faith. That we take that step of faith when the fear is at its highest point. Because our faith is at its highest point. Lord, thank you for this incredible book that we're going to be diving into. Thank you for the lessons that you can teach us through your scriptures, through our own lives, as we look around at the world we live in. Make us bold. Make us courageous. And let our faith in you be greater than our fear and everything else. In your name we pray. Amen.